settled. If you have your Bibles, please turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1. And this morning we're going to look at just a few verses, 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 9 through 12. This is the word of God. He has saved us and called us to a holy life, not because of anything we have done, but because of his own purpose and grace. This grace was given us in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time, but it has now been revealed through the appearing of our Savior, Christ Jesus, who has destroyed death and has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. And of this gospel I was appointed a herald and an apostle and a teacher. That is why I am suffering as I am. Yet this is no cause for shame, because I know whom I have believed, and am convinced that he is able to guard what I have entrusted to him until that day. Before we consider this passage together, let's pray. Father, we thank you for the opportunity to gather here this morning. We pray that you will be pleased and honored with all that we think now as we look to your word. We thank you for this time of year. We thank you for Christmas and for the gift of your son. And Father, I pray that we will actually genuinely be as mindful of the gift of your son every day of the year as we are on Christmas Day itself. Lord, help us to never get over this gift that you've given us, of all gifts the greatest. And Lord, help us to love you through Jesus. Help us to love Jesus and to follow him and to be like him. Lord, you know the circumstances of our lives. You know every one of our heart's desires. You know everything that we need. You know all that is good. We pray that this year you will bless us, Lord, with gifts unlooked for, just blessings that you pour out into our lives. Be with us, we pray, this morning as we look to your word, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I'm sure you're aware that today is Boxing Day. If you're not, you missed an important day yesterday and probably should make that right with certain people. So today is Boxing Day, and there are, of course, debates about the exact origin of Boxing Day. And I'm not going to sort that out this morning, but I've heard two different things. I remember when I was younger, I heard that Boxing Day was the day after Christmas. That actually isn't up for debate. It is. But Boxing Day is the day after Christmas, and it was so named because the royal family used to package up little presents and sort of disperse them to the masses the day after Christmas. That was what I heard. I've also heard that Christmas Day... That was yesterday. Boxing Day is the day today. You'll be encouraged to note that coming up to our Christmas Eve service, I was incapable of referring to it as anything else other than our Good Friday service, because it was on Friday, and I could not for the life of me get out of my mind that it was a Good Friday service. So the other explanation of Boxing Day, which is today, is that employers would package up food and things for their employees and give them sort of a care package and the day off, and that this was sort of the origin of Boxing Day. I'm not quite sure exactly which one it is. So whenever I'm in doubt, I send off a letter, sometimes unlooked for, to my good friend the Queen. And I'm not sure if you knew this, we're best friends. And so I consult with the Queen and find out, what is the origin of this holiday? And she wasn't sure either, but one of the things that we agreed on was that this is a day to give small presents to other people. And so, that's what I intend on doing this morning. And so this is the Sunday to be here if you are less than a certain age. I won't tell you what that age is. You can use your own discretion. But for the children who are here, what we have at the front of this table is we have some carefully arranged, socially distanced toonies. And those are worth $2, which is, with today, I know that even the young are worried about inflation. This is an enormous amount of money. So these $2 coins are up here, and if you'd like to come up, for those of you, anyone who wants one, but we'll start with those who are under 18. Dave Ward, just remain seated, okay? Just relax. Anyone under 18, if you'd like to come on up, seriously, come on up and just help yourself. Come on up. Come right on up. Yeah, Ray, there you go. Right over here. No, that's the wrong way. Right here. Right, just grab one right there. Yeah, just take it. Very good. All right. Good doors. There has to be someone who wants to come on up. None. There's no catch. There's no catch to this at all. Pivas, come on up. No catch. Just come on up. Come on up. Yeah, Johnson. There you go. Carter, they're right there. All right. Now, this is all you need to do. All you need to do to keep them is you have to listen a little bit during the message, and you just have to make sure that you hold on to them. That's it. Okay? So if you just hold on to them and listen. That's all. Now, last chance. Not the last chance. I'll give you another chance, too. I'm so generous on Boxing Day. Anyone else want to come up and grab one? And I'll even allow you, if you're over 18, within reason. Anyone who's young at heart. Dutch. Guess the family heritage of that one. Yeah, that's right. All right, now you have to listen. And you have to hold on to it. You can't just throw it on the... Hold on to it. Oh my goodness, even the children. Oh, dear. Oh, my. Next week we start our parenting class. All right, so. You just need to listen. Just need to hold on to it. That's all you have to do. Okay? Now, a quiz for those of you who are here on Christmas Eve, or for those of you who have read Matthew 1. What does the name Jesus mean? What does the name Jesus mean? And everyone who took a toonie should know this. Yeah, go ahead. Okay, so you have two names for Jesus in Matthew 1. You're exactly right. Those two names were Jesus and Emmanuel. Very good. And Emmanuel means God with us, and Jesus means, and even if you didn't take a toonie, you can help out. What does the name Jesus mean? Who recalls? Yes. Okay, Jesus is the Messiah. Very good. Yeah, the Messiah is the anointed one, the one who's anointed by God. But remember, the angel says, you will give him the name Jesus because, what will he do? He will save his people from their sins. So Jesus means the Lord saves. Jesus saves. Now, notice here in 2 Timothy, he has saved us, which means that Jesus accomplished what his name said. Paul, writing after the resurrection, after the ascension, after the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, actually Paul writing at the end of his life says, Jesus accomplished his name. He actually saved us. He saved us and called us to a holy life. Now, just like for those of you who came up and selected a toonie from the table, you chose it and you took it and now it's in your keeping. It's reserved for you. It belongs to you. And really, that's actually basically what the word holy means. The word holy means that God takes us, he chooses us, and then we belong to him. And because we now belong to him, because we're reserved for him, we're then supposed to start acting like it. And so when we talk about living a holy life, the idea is not, you need to make yourself good. The idea is, because God has chosen you and taken you and you belong to him, you actually are holy. You are holy. Now, act like it. That's the idea. You don't make yourself holy. God makes you holy. And then because you are holy, you're supposed to start living in a way which is pleasing to God. You belong to him. You are his child. Live like your father. That's the basic idea. So he saved us. He chose us. He took us. He holds on to us. And he does that so we can actually live a holy life. Now that means that whether you're young or old, if you're trusting in Jesus, then you absolutely belong to God. You are his. You are his child. Now, notice next that he saved us and called us to a holy life, not because of anything we have done, but because of his own purpose and grace. Grace means that he blesses you in ways that you do not deserve. In fact, every blessing of God is a blessing that you do not deserve. None of us earn blessings from God. In the same way, whatever the origin of Boxing Day was, the people who were being given presents hadn't earned those presents. They were given as gifts. And God continually gives us gifts. God continues to pour blessings out into our lives, not because of what we have done, but rather because of his own purpose and grace. So we're blessed by God through Jesus. And again, we're not blessed because we make ourselves worthy of being blessed. God's grace comes first, always. God's grace is transformative. God always makes us to be what he wants us to be because of his grace. It's all for his own purpose. Now, this grace, this blessing, was given us in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time. Now, this might seem like a very small thing, and this is a very small thing. But it did take a little bit of forethought to gather some toonies and to set them out for the young people to come up and to take. Now, that wasn't an enormous amount of thought. I didn't think about this for years and years and years and years before it happened. But it did require a little bit more than thinking about it this morning. For our salvation, we're told that for those of us who belong to God, the grace of God was given us in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time. Now, this is an astounding thing, and even you children can understand these things. God loves you so much that when God seeks to save people, he doesn't even wait for their life to begin for them to have grace in Christ Jesus. He doesn't even wait, actually, for Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, the Lord created the heavens and the earth. Rather, the saving grace of God in Christ Jesus is given to people before the beginning of time, that's what Paul says. Which means that for you, you know Jesus, you're saved by Jesus, you've been called by his purpose and by his grace. His calling of you took place way before you heard the gospel. Hearing the gospel, understanding the gospel, was the opportunity to respond to his grace in a saving way, but that grace was given to you, that calling was written onto your life long before you were born. In In fact, the saving grace that's in Christ Jesus is given to God's children before he said, let there be light. Before he made the world. He had already, from eternity past, had in mind this gift to you. This gift of holiness and salvation in grace. But, verse 10, it has now been revealed through the appearing of our Savior, Christ Jesus, who has destroyed death and has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Now, this grace given to you in eternity past is something which you then experience in your life history. And this is one of the amazing things about God. You know, God occupies eternity past, and yet also, God is outside of time, but also interacts in time. And so God sets upon you saving grace in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time, but in the course of your life works out his saving grace to bring you to himself through Jesus. And so the eternal purposes and plan of God are completely in one accord with his providential work in history and in time and in your life. So that what God ordains in eternity is written out and accomplished in the present, in the future, in all through history. All that God wants to accomplish, all of God's counsels and decrees and purposes and plans are in his heart and mind before he creates time, but then he unfolds them and accomplishes them in history. So, for example, even the great atonement of Jesus Christ, the gift of Jesus at Christmas, and then his death on the cross and his resurrection, all of this is planned before the beginning of time, but it's accomplished in human history. And the same is true in our lives. God writes our name in the book of life before the beginning of time, but then he calls us in time, and his grace is revealed in time in our lives. It's through the appearing of our Savior, Christ Jesus, who destroyed death, has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Now, just a reminder, for those children who came up and took one of these coins, still have it, still listening. Okay, very good. Now I want you to imagine something. Imagine if I know your brother and sister would never do anything bad to you, but imagine if a bully came along and stole the toonie from one of you. And then someone else came along and said, you know what? I know that someone stole that from you. So here, let me give you mine. And not only will I give you mine, I'll take the punishment that other person deserves for stealing from you in the first place. And so I'll take the punishment, and I'll give you my toonie so that you have it, and so that that person can also experience forgiveness. And there's a sense in which that's basically what Jesus does for us. That is, he sees that we have nothing, broken by the world, And he comes and he fills us up with blessing. That is, all that Jesus is, he gives to us. But, and this is something actually which increasingly needs to be said in our culture. Because in our culture, everyone is a victim. And no one is responsible for anything that they do. Ironically, on the other hand, our culture also divides everyone up into oppressor and oppressed categories. And the oppressors are sort of intersectionality. I mean, the oppressors are always white males,
building prejudice and discrimination into every societal structure, and everyone else, depending on the different levels of intersection of sort of minority that they have, they become better and better and better the more oppressed they are categorically. This is all sort of being taught in our universities, in every department today. So we have this sort of this idea that most of us, anyway, are just victims. The truth is, we are actually all victims, but not in the way the world thinks. Every single one of us has been sinned against. Every single one of us. Every single one of us has experienced some level of oppression from someone at some time. That's true. But what the world has wrong is that every single one of us is not only a victim of sin, we are a perpetrator of sin too. Every one of us. Every one of us has been victimized at some time and in some ways, and every one of us is guilty of being the victimizer at other times and in other ways. None of us are innocent categorically. No one. And so when Jesus comes, it's not just a matter of, oh, here are all the good people and here are all the bullies. Here are all the oppressed people and here are all the oppressors. When Jesus comes, it's every single one of us is guilty before God at some point and in some way. In fact, a lot more guilty than we want to imagine for a lot more things than we care to remember. So Jesus comes, and he comes to fill us up because we're broken. He comes to bind our wounds because we've been hurt. He comes to give us compassion. He comes to liberate us. He comes to break the yoke upon our neck. Those are all very beautiful images and true. But simultaneously, he comes to pay the penalty for our guilt, which is great. He comes to provide forgiveness for our sins, which are many. And you'll never understand the gospel fully unless you can hold both of those sorts of images and perspectives and aspects together. He comes to bind up the brokenhearted. He comes to provide forgiveness for the desperately wicked, and they're the same people. This is through the appearing of our Savior, Christ Jesus, who has destroyed death and has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Mary did not know that her son was going to destroy death. She did not know that. No one did. Everyone got it wrong. No one knew that by his death, he would destroy death until after he did it, until after the resurrection. Yet Jesus Christ has destroyed death. It's one of the things that we always have to keep the totality of God's revelation together as much as we can. And that's why we should never really think about, you know, we should never isolate Christmas from what Jesus came to do, or else we'll end up with nothing but nostalgia. I'm as nostalgic and as emotional as anyone, but nostalgia does not save anyone. The life and death and resurrection of Jesus Christ saves people. And so when Christ was born, he came to live a perfect life, to never do anything wrong, and then as a perfect person, take upon himself the punishment that was owed to other people for all the things that they had done which were wrong. And so for all of us then, what we need to do is we need just to simply acknowledge that we've done what's wrong. We need to entrust ourselves to Jesus, ask him to forgive us for our sins, and to just recognize that that on our own there is no life for us. Life is a gift from God. Life, destruction of death and life and immortality is brought to light through the gospel. And of this gospel, Paul says, I was appointed a herald and an apostle and a teacher. That is why I am suffering as I am. Yet this is no cause for shame, because I know whom I have believed and am convinced that he is able to guard what I have entrusted to him until that day. Now, I'm sensitive to the fact that I've asked children to listen and to just to hold on. So I don't expect them to do this forever. So I just have one more thing to say. The last thing I want to say is I actually have two more things to say. One, Paul here says, and this is special for Paul, but it's true for all of us too who know Jesus. He says, because of the gospel, because this is true, I've been appointed a herald. In other words, I am to tell other people. And that is the job. For Paul, it was a very special way, but that is the job for all of us. If we know life, if we know Jesus, if we've experienced his saving grace, we are to tell other people because there is absolutely nothing better than Jesus. And so our job as being called to live a holy life, we are to live a holy life and tell other people about Jesus Christ. That's our job. And then he says, I know whom I have believed and I'm convinced that he is able to guard what I have entrusted to him until that day. How many of you have heard of Antonio Stradivari? How many of you have heard of that name? How many of you have heard of, for violins, Stradivarius violin? You've heard of that. Okay. Stradivarius violins were made by Antonio Stradivari, born in the mid-1640s, died 1737, and the reason that his violins are so expensive today is there aren't that many of them remaining, and they're also made with special techniques, so the different people debate exactly the technique or the element of his violin crafting that caused these violins to be so exquisite. If you're looking for a price point, a year or two ago I was at a conference where there was a violin virtuoso who had a special violin from the 1700s, not a Stradivarius, worth a lot less than a Stradivarius. And he showed me his violin, and we discussed it, and his violin was worth more than my house. And it was not an expensive violin compared to the Stradivarius. So I showed him my collection of a dozen Stradivari violins, and he was quite jealous. The reality is, I actually almost couldn't believe it. There was one moment, because he was doing the special music that I speak, and there was one moment where he put this violin on his violin stand, and it tipped over. I just remember going like, "Oh, God, dude, like, do you know what that is?" But well, actually, he probably does. He plays it. If you have a Stradivarius, you protect it. You guard it. You keep it safe. It's a treasure. Now, it would take more than a couple toonies to buy a Stradivarius violin. But, for those of you who came up and took one, do you still have it? You do. Why did you keep it? Why did you keep it? Yeah, that's right. As a memento from me, never to be spent, but always to be treasured and framed on the wall. I mean, it's just a little thing, right? We keep something or we give it away. we keep something, we use something, we protect something because we want it. And I just want you to think just for a moment, whether small children or older adults, if you were able to keep the toonie during our time here, if you were able to do that, do you think that God can keep what's valuable to him? See, Paul says, I am convinced that he is able to guard what I have entrusted to him until that day. In other words, if someone who has a Stradivarius violin will take exquisite care of it, keep it safe, guard it, if you can hold on to a toonie and not lose it because you want it, then Almighty God can hold on to his children all of the way through this world until he brings them home. And then he can hold on to them for all of eternity. And that's what he's going to do. You know, some of us like stories of knights and queens and all of the rest. You think about Galahad, you know, the pure-hearted knight, and Galahad, you know, is a knight that you want, you know, riding on the quest for you. There's no greater knight. There's no greater king than Jesus Christ. He defeated not just a dragon. He defeated the serpent. He defeated death. There's nothing that Jesus can't do. He, before the beginning of time, took you to belong to him, to live a holy life because of his grace and blessing. And I promise you, if you know Jesus, he is not going to lose you. You didn't lose the toonie. God is not losing his children. God is not losing the ones that he loves. God is protecting them and guarding them forever and ever and ever. So, like Paul, the right response is entrust yourself to God. Is I know whom I've believed. I've believed in God. I've put my faith in God through Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ has conquered death. And God has loved me before the beginning of time. And God is omnipotent. No one can snatch me out of God's hand. No one can remove me from the protective power of God. I already am holy in Jesus Christ because that holiness has been given to me as a gift. Death is destroyed. Immortality is brought to light through the gospel. So tell others and know who you have believed in. Know who you are in his sight. You are more precious in the sight of God than any amount of money. You are more precious in the sight of God than the most finely crafted violin in the world, and the cathedrals and palaces of human beings. Your soul is worth more than the entire world to God. And he will never, never lose you. And he will never let anything happen to you that keeps you from spending eternity with him. He loved you before the beginning of time. He will love you beyond the end of time because of the Lord Jesus Christ. Entrust yourself to him until that day. If you aren't sure that you are held safely in the hands of Jesus, I'm going to encourage you, after our service today, I mean, you can pray to God anytime. But if there's anything, you know, you're not sure about, anything you want to discuss, please come talk to me. There are all kinds of people in this room who would like nothing more than to talk to you about Jesus. And so don't leave here today. Don't leave here today with any uncertainty about whether or not you've experienced the saving grace of Jesus in your life. Like, don't leave here today without knowing who you are trusting in. And as we just take a moment to pray, everyone just individually, just themselves before the Lord, then I'll lead us in prayer and we'll have a closing song this morning. Lord Jesus, thank you for dying for us, dying in our place, so that we can have eternal life. Lord, I pray that by your Spirit, every single one of us, from the youngest to the oldest in this place, will trust in you. Lead us to yourself through Jesus. Reveal your grace that was set on us before the beginning of time. Reveal it now in this place. And may we worship you, and may we trust you that you will never let us go. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Our Lord, we do look to you because you are the one who, before the beginning of time, looked to us to save us, to call us to belong to you. We know that we will never be grateful enough. We will never be able to praise you enough. We will never be able to love you enough. But help us to do it more than we ever have before. Help us to love you. And Father, for every single one of us, our faith can be so weak, we can get so distracted with so many things. By your Spirit, call every one of us to yourself. Put your hands around us, protect us, keep us safe. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Go in grace and peace.